Our scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Let's have a little prayer, and then we'll get started. Gracious, loving God, may the Holy Spirit be here upon us as we walk through this message today. May your presence always be with us here and out there, as Mark had said. Give us wisdom in the things we need to do in these last days of Earth's history. And keep us in your watchful care. In Jesus' name, amen. Something I've noticed over the past couple of months, and maybe you have too, I've noticed that with humans, no matter how young or how old we are, there are two things we always go for. Now listen to this. We either want to be worst or we want to be first. You heard that right. We either want to be worst or we want to be first. And I'll give you some examples and you'll see where we're coming from. Traffic in Roseburg is terrible. And someone else says, Oh, but the traffic up in Eugene where I work, it's so much worse. Here's another example of wanting to be first at being worst. How many miles do you get on your pickup, Mike? Oh, about 20 miles per gallon. It's not very good. Oh, my pickup's so much worse. I only get 15 miles per gallon. You hear this all the time, and you're going to hear it especially today and tomorrow. It's so hot. Yesterday and today it's going to be 95 degrees. And we know somebody in this church that's from Phoenix, Arizona, and he would say, Oh, but in Phoenix it's 110 in the shade. It's so much worse. Maybe you ladies can relate to this next one. Last night, and this is the truth, I only got about 4 or 5 hours sleep. And you wives might say something like, Well, my husband snored all night long. And I only got 3 hours sleep. Say it with me. It's so much worse. Even students get into being first at being worst. Have you ever heard something like this? I only had the chance to study 6 of the chapters for the upcoming test. Well, I didn't have a chance to study any. It's so much worse. Then what do? We want to be first at being worst. And we get self-value out of being a little bit worse than what you said. Then we do the opposite. We just want to be first. I don't mean something like, I want to be number one. But I mean something like this. Maybe you heard this about a month ago or maybe a little longer. I heard it from somebody here in the church. Oh, you don't have your tomato plants in yet? Well, I do. He was first. I've even got buds coming on mine already. You've heard it, haven't you? How about this one for you younger generation? Do you have rode on the new Superman ride? I have. How about this? Us elderly people can relate to this. Well, you haven't driven a stick shift? I have. Let me show you how it's done. This thing right over here is called the clutch. Of course, that's a brake. Just let out gently on the clutch as you push on the gas. One more. Most of you can relate to this. You haven't tried the Impossible Burger? I have. See, we want to be first, don't we? Isn't it funny how we want to be the worst or the first in everything? Kind of like it gives us more credibility in life and we feel a little bit more valuable. Now turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to be reading from the 20th chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. We're going to read all 16 verses. As you know, Matthew was a tax collector. He was also a disciple of Jesus. And so he wrote down the words that Jesus said. Jesus is giving a parable here, and it has some very important parts. We're going to see a little bit more about the worst and the first. Starting with verse 1, For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. Now, many other versions of the Bible say they agreed to a denarius a day, which means the usual pay for that day. Verse 3, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. Verse 6, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man has hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Verse 8, so when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny, or a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal with us, which has borne the burden of the heat of the day. Verse 13, but he answered and said to them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? And now verse 16, which we all know so well. So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen. So you see from this story, it's pretty simple. We see a landowner that has a vineyard. He has work that needs to be done, maybe pruning the vines, maybe fertilizing, maybe digging other water lines into the vineyard. And so he goes to the marketplace about 6 o'clock in the morning. And there's people standing there needing work. And he gets supplies and sees those workers standing, wanting to have work as day laborers. Have you ever gone someplace, I'm sure you have, driven around and saw somebody standing with a sign, we'll work for money. You see this at Fred Meyer's, Home Depot, every place it seems like. Sometimes you see somebody holding up a sign that says, I'm a hard worker. So the story shows how the landowner went looking for these workers. They agreed on a day's wage and finally settled on that one denarius. As a hod carrier years ago, by the way, a hod carrier is a man that mixes up the cement or the mortar, if you want to call it that, and takes the bricks and the mortar to the bricklayer. You can still remember this. We'd stand underneath the steel bridge there where we all met, and these contractors would come by and point to you, and we would get on his truck and go to the place where he had work for us, and we were paid the day's wages at that time. Nowadays, we don't deal in cash anymore. Today, it's all credit cards. Even my new wallet doesn't have a spot for cash. It's just places for credit cards. Well, the workers back then agreed to a denarius, which, as mentioned, was a current day's wage for an unskilled day laborer. You worked for a day, and that is what you got, and you agreed on that price. Now, I don't know the day's wages that you make or that you had made in the past. Everybody has a different way to make different kinds of money. Some of you might be like I was back then, a day laborer. Some of you might be educators and teachers, just like our teacher here in this church. And I give kudos to people like that because they give up wealth and material things to do this ministry for God. These teachers are being used by God to structure those who they're teaching. Others of you might make more in a week than some of us make in a month, and that's fine. You know the man called Bill Gates. He's the fourth richest man in the world. Elon Musk is currently number one, and Jeff Bezos is number two. They're the world's richest men. Bill Gates, by the way, makes over $127 billion a year as of May the 22nd, 2022. And he's currently under Jeff Bezos, as I mentioned, the Amazon guy, and another man named Arnault, who's from Europe. How many of you support the Amazon guy? Come on, honey, get your hand up. If I don't see something coming from Amazon in a week, something's wrong. Well, think about this. A few years ago, Bill Gates made $12 billion alone. That means his monthly salary was $1 billion. Breaking it down, his weekly paycheck was $50 million, which means he made $35 million a day. $1.5 million an hour, or a measly $24,000 a minute. By the way, as I studied who were the richest men in the world and stuff, I saw that Bill Gates is really generous with his dollars. He really gives to some good charities. He makes about $415 a second. So if he were walking down a sidewalk, talking business with his secretary, and they saw a $100 bill laying on the sidewalk, it wouldn't do any good for him to bend over and pick up that $100 because he'd lose 3 or 4 seconds at $415 a second. Wow. Well, that's a day's wage, $35 million a day. So back to the story. The landowner in Matthew 20 and the laborers came to an agreement. A few hours later, the landowner sees that he needs more workers. He finds more workers and asks them if they would like to work in his vineyard. A few hours later, he goes back for a third time for more workers. By the way, maybe you've noticed it, but he didn't say he'd pay them a penny. He said he would pay them whatever is right in verses 4 and 7. So there was this trust relationship between those who were hired early and the landowner who had hired them about 6 or 7 in the morning. He went back about 9 in the morning and hired others. He went back again about noon and hired others. And again at 3 o'clock, he did the same. He went back finally about 5 o'clock and picked up more guys to work. Then the work in the field was getting done, and it was time to quit. It's time to pay up. The day is over, and he tells the foreman and the workers, "Let's settle up." The foreman comes with his bag of denarii ready to pay. Then the landowner says, "Let's put them in a line in reverse order to be paid." So the last ones, which were hired about 5 o'clock, were the first to be paid. The last guys were hired. Let's pay them first. Have you ever helped someone move? I'm sure you have. We've all been asked to do that. Have you ever helped the movers and got paid in return for helping them? I should tell you, as a kid, I was always looking for work, mowing lawns, and actually getting paid to help someone move were some of the ways to make money. I used to sell spud nuts at the age of 10. Does anybody know what a spud nut is? Yes, see? It's made out of potatoes. 10 years old, we had these little carts full of our bags of donuts and spud nuts. Knock on the door. "Hi, would you like to buy some spud nuts?" They just loved them. The spud nuts went before the chocolate-covered donuts and the glazed donuts. And then I would run back to the van and get some more because I'd got paid for every bag that I sold. Later on, at the age of 14, I landed a real job, dishwasher at the Holiday Inn. I purchased my first car at the age of 15 for $50. I was beginning to see early on in life that money can buy things if you're a hard worker. Today, when we meet here at the church to have a work bee or to help somebody move, we always ask God for protection and help, guidance. Sometimes it's hard work, but the pay is great. You know why the pay is great? Because God's our foreman. Now in the story, the guy that showed up late is getting paid first. This was a guy that showed up at the market late, but was still hired. Maybe he's just a little lazy, slept much of the day, but he was still hired. You know these kind of people. They're the ones that are least deserving of a full wage. The worst is getting paid first. Then the foreman opens up the bag and pulls out the denarii and hands it to the worst worker first. A day's wage at that time, as I had mentioned. Then to the next guys who were only there for 3 hours. Then to the ones that were there 4 or 5 hours. Then to the ones that had been there 8 hours or more. The ones that had been there since 6 a.m. The ones that seemed to have all their act together. The ones that were not lazy. They were the ones that might have negotiated the wage for what they felt they were worth. The ones that were first now became last. And so the foreman handed them their wage. The one that had agreed on, but it was not good enough. In the eyes of the first, it wasn't fair. In the eyes of the first, they should have been paid more. It's not fair, and I wonder if we sometimes view God's blessings and God's grace like the guys who were hired first in the vineyard. There are so many walks and so many levels as we walk with Jesus. There are people here today who are close to God. There might be other people here who have never really felt that closeness yet to God. Some have rich connection to Jesus, and there are people here who read their Bibles every day, while others might not even know where their Bibles are. There are people here today that are tithe givers and they're faithful with their offerings. There might be some here that don't understand the true meaning of tithe giving. There are some people here today that have a particular ministry in the church. And there are some here today that have numerous ministries in the church. There are others here who serve out in the community. And there are others here who are not serving because that would be taking away their time from helping somebody else. Some come to worship God in music and baptism and are in awe who God really is. And there might be others here or others who are watching who are just here to get a blessing. There are those who are the reflection of who Jesus is. And there might be someone here whose life is an absolute train wreck. And it is an embarrassment for them to be here. I felt that way one time when I first came into the church. Why is it that all too often we look at somebody else and wonder, why is God blessing them as much as he's blessing me? This just isn't fair. Have you ever gone on a weekly church function? I remember as a little boy, my mother sent me on one of these weekly church functions. We were too poor to afford a sleeping bag or a mattress. So I had a blanket, which I just threw over myself, slept on the hard ground. In the morning, the cook made us fried vegan spaghetti. That's right, fried vegan spaghetti. Oh, did we complain. We complained and cried about the food. Try it sometimes and you'll see why. Well, hearing our complaints, the next day we had cold cereal with water. Because that same cook forgot to bring the sugar and the milk. I wondered for years if he did that on purpose. Oh boy, we complained. Well, we spent a portion of every day in prayer and singing, even on the hiking trails. One kid there had a potty mouth, and he had a real attitude problem. He picked fights and complained and was so unruly. Kind of made me mad on the hiking trail because he was faster and he could go further than anyone else, and he was such a scrawny little guy. I learned later that week that he had a bad family life and was currently living with another aunt and uncle. Looking back on that experience, I feel it was a bad time. I look back now and see that it wasn't that bad of a time, and it was good for me to go through what I went through. I saw different sides of the kid with the potty mouth, and Later, I witnessed him giving his heart to God. Isn't it amazing how those things stick with you the rest of your life? We're quick to judge and might even look around and tell God something like, "How can you give that person grace when they don't deserve it? Just look at their lifestyle." Well, the worker in the vineyard complained that because they were first, they should have been treated better. And they even said the others were blessed more than they were. It's not fair. And if you were one of the workers in the vineyard and you got paid for 10 hours, the same as those who only worked a few hours, it's not fair. If you agree with me, you might say, "That's not fair what took place back then." And you would be right, because listen to this. God is not fair, especially when it comes to his grace. Let me explain a little further. It's not fair, and his grace doesn't make sense. His grace is preposterous. It's outlandish and unreasonable, and it seems ridiculous. And who can really understand God's grace? I like what it says in Psalm 103, where God does not treat us as our sins deserve or pay us according to our iniquities. That little chapter there makes us wonder, how can we understand God's grace? One of the thieves on the cross, and you remember this, he leaned out and looked past Jesus to the other thief and said, "We are deserving the punishment for our actions brought. We're getting the wages we bargained for." Now, when the landowner of the vineyard gave the workers who had only worked a few hours a full day's wage, that wasn't fair. It was more than fair. We deserve the full day's wage of sin also. But God is not fair, and I'm so glad he's better than fair. He will take the last and the worst and make them the best and the first. On the west side of Galilee, where Jesus cast out some demons, there's a little town called Magdalene. There's still a few walls standing there, and this is what you remember about it. Mary Magdalene came from there, but she actually grew up in Bethany, which is just a stone throw away from Jerusalem. She saw the priests and the religious services and the religious ceremonies, and she started to learn what they actually meant. As they pointed to the Messiah that was to come, she would wait and watch and pray until she fell. And she kept falling 7 times. She went from being this beautiful girl who was on the list of many of the men in the area. She went from being beautiful to being a human wreck. She went from being the first to being the last, and she was the worst. She was schmoozed by their uncle Simon, and she went from being a young, vibrant person to being a person who was a nobody. She was the worst of her time. She was a hopeless case, being accused of the epitome of sin when the worst day of her life came. They were going to kill this person who was the worst of the worst. She was actually dragged from bed in the act of sin and taken outside to be stoned. And there she was, trying to hide her nakedness. And everybody is yelling insults at her. They were telling her who she was and that she was guilty. She huddled there in a ball, covering her head, waiting for something that would hurt even more than the words that were already thrown at her. Then she hears something. It's a scratching sound. Somebody is writing something in the hard dirt. Suddenly, she sees the crowd dispersing, and everything's quiet. She then looks up to see only one person left, and it's Jesus. And with loving eyes that only a God of love could have, he says, "Where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Fast forward a little bit, about 3.5 years, and Jesus died on the cross and is resurrected and separated from his Father from what sin has caused. It's Sunday morning, and he's anxious to go back to heaven and see his Father. The angels and the Holy Spirit are waiting for him. Can you imagine the song the angels are practicing? Sin has been conquered. Salvation has been won. Well, all of heaven is ready. They wait. Because at the tomb, Mary is there. Mary, that same Mary who was the worst of the worst. Now she's the first to see Jesus. And she once again wanted to cling to his feet, just like she had done when she anointed him with oil. Jesus, the one and only Son of God. Mary understood those words that we read in our memory text today. My grace is sufficient for you. May all of us, whether we're the first or the last, whether we're the worst or the first, rich or poor, may you know and understand the unbelievable grace of God. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, that's what we're looking for, to go home. In the meantime, when we fall and we become the worst of the worst, help us to remember that your grace is sufficient for us if we get up and try again. Even when we give up on you, Heavenly Father, we know you will never give up on us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message today. In Jesus' name, amen.